God, open our eyes to see your kingdom present among us, and our minds and hearts and hands to serve. Amen. So I went to a poetry reading the other night, and one of the first poems that was shared was by Emily Dickinson. Tell the truth, but tell it slant. It goes like this. Tell all the truth, but tell it slant. Success in circuit lies, too bright for our infirm delight, the truth's superb surprise. As lightning to the children eased with explanation kind, the truth must dazzle gradually, or every man be blind. Tell the truth and tell it slant, meaning tell the truth in such a way that it can actually be received and heard, in a way that optimizes the possibility of it being understood and received. Pick an angle that best optimizes its reception. Kind of like when you're throwing a ball, a football perhaps, and you actually want the other person to catch it. Pay attention to how you throw the ball. Tell the truth, tell it slant. Jesus, of course, was a master truth teller, a master ball thrower, and his favorite vehicle of truth telling was in parables. Because it turns out that some of the hardest concepts and the most significant truths about ultimate reality are best offered and received and heard through the language of poetry, via simile and metaphor. I mean, how does one convey the reality of the kingdom of heaven? Through facts, intellectual assertions, scientific proofs and analysis? It's like trying to convey the truth of the reality of grief, of the reality of heartbreak, of the reality of falling in love. It's one thing to intellectualize and rationalize and explain the biology and the psychology of all these things. It's another to convey the feeling, the experience, and the truth of these things. And so the helpfulness of the language of poetry to evoke a feeling, to evoke the experience of something. Losing a loved one is like fill in the blank. Having your heart break is like fill in the blank. Falling in love is like fill in the blank. And the key to a master teacher in conveying the truth of a reality or an experience is to fill in those blanks with something that those in his or her audience or classroom might relate to. And you see, in Jesus' day, everyone knew about mustard seeds. Mustard seeds were today's equivalent of crabgrass for a gardener, or kudzu in the South. As several biblical commentators point out, mustard seeds were like the most pervasive, invasive weed that quietly and powerfully and invasively took over everything, could take over a whole field before you knew and could do anything about it. Or like yeast, a single-celled fungi with a very long scientific name, and I'm going to give it a shot here. Saccharomyces cerevisiae is what bakers commonly use. Yeast is egg-shaped and can only be seen with a microscope, and it takes 20 billion yeast cells to weigh 1 gram or 1/28th of an ounce of cake yeast. But it's yeast that thoroughly transforms flour into fluffy white bread. So what is Jesus' point, trying to convey the kingdom of heaven to mustard seeds or yeast? We might try a couple of pithy proverbs, like size doesn't matter. Great things start out as small things. But let's dig deeper and flesh it out a little more. The kingdom of heaven is present and active and working and transforming whether we realize it or not, whether it's obvious or not, whether the news headlines tell us or not. The kingdom of heaven is active and transforming and working in an organic way, transforming our reality to something new and different than how we began. But it's a process happening quietly, under the radar, grassroots, without drawing very much attention to itself. The kingdom of heaven is breaking in wherever and whenever a seed is planted or yeast is placed that gives rise and ferments the possibility of a new reality, quietly, under the radar, grassroots, drawing no attention to itself. These can be as small and seemingly inconsequential as an idea, a promise, or a bus route, a number, or a word. Let me explain. The kingdom of heaven is like a bus route. I had a conversation with a parishioner named Susie. She and her husband have taken a young man from the east side of Baltimore under their wing through an organization, a nonprofit program that matches youth in our city who need a community of support around them with adults who are willing to help. This young man, let's call him Gabe. Gabe has been struggling through school. His mother is a coke addict. His father is in jail. He's got four younger siblings, and his grandmother is the one person who tries to hold the household together. Understandably, Gabe is struggling. And so Susie and her husband, through this organization, have taken him under their wing. They've tried to get him to school. They've tried to get him to his appointments. And this summer, with their encouragement and guidance, they got him a summer internship in Towson. But Susie told Gabe that she wasn't going to drive him every day, that he needed to figure out a way to get there on his own reliably through our public transportation system. How many of you have tried to get anywhere through our public transportation system? Thanks, Matt. So she took Gabe to the bus that was closest to where he lived and went with him and showed him to get from point A to point B, from where he lived to Towson and back. And it turns out that Gabe has not missed a single day of work. He shows up every day on time. He now has three more adults in this firm who trust him and believe in him and want him to succeed. They've offered him a job next summer. He suddenly is starting to have new kinds of thoughts. Maybe I have a future. Maybe I can do something differently than what's happening to those around me. Maybe I can actually live. The kingdom of heaven breaks in through bus routes. The kingdom of heaven is like a number written on a piece of chart paper. Let me explain. A few days ago, a number of Baltimoreans were gathered in the basement of a church. You see, these citizens and fellow brothers and sisters of ours in faith and in love for our city are tired of the violence that is taking lives. 200 people have died from violence since the beginning of January. It's an epidemic of violence that is unacceptable. And so these people were gathered in a basement to answer the question, is this the best that we can do? Or can we do more? Can we do something? And so leaders from the different congregations, different denominations, and nonprofits stood up and pledged to bring a number of folks from their congregations to a press conference this Wednesday in Darley Park, 6 o'clock, to call on our mayor and our public officials and our police to work together for one Baltimore in which violence is not the norm. Is it a dream, or can we do it? Mount Zion Baptist said, we'll bring 3. Turnaround Tuesday said, we'll bring 5. The numbers were written on a piece of chart paper. Brown Memorial said, we'll bring 12. Church of Redeemer said, we'll bring 15. 3, 5, 12, 15. Numbers written on chart paper in the basement of a church. The kingdom of heaven is like numbers written on paper. The kingdom of heaven is like a word. A few weeks ago, a woman named Celine was diagnosed with cancer out of the blue, unexpectedly. She, of course, struggled with this news, as did her family, her children, her grandchildren, her friends. And then Celine had a dream. And in this dream, she received a message from God, she said, that it's time to come home. It's time to come home. And this message gave Celine such peace and acceptance that she was willing and able to speak a word of peace to her spouse and to her children and to her grandchildren and to her friends. And that peace spread. Don't be afraid. It's time for me to go home. The kingdom of heaven is like a word spoken in peace. You see, the kingdom of heaven breaks in always, everywhere, where individuals and families and communities and cities act in love and justice and mercy and compassion, under the radar, grassroots, quietly, no headlines, but reality. That same poetry reading event I attended the other night ended with a poem by Robert Frost. And the person who shared this poem felt its contemporary relevance, as did I, so I thought I'd share it with you. O star, the faintest one in sight, we grant your loftiness the right to some obscurity of cloud. It will not do to say of night, since dark is what brings out your light. Some mystery becomes the proud, but to be wholly taciturn in your reserve is not allowed. Say something to us we can learn by heart, and when alone repeat. Say something. And it says, I burn. But say with what degree of heat? Talk Fahrenheit, talk centigrade, use language we can comprehend. Tell us what elements you blend. It gives us strangely little aid, but does tell something in the end. And steadfast as Keats' eremite, not even stooping from its sphere, it asks a little of us here, It asks of us a certain height. So when at times the mob is swayed to carry praise or blame too far, we may choose something like a star to stay our minds on and be stayed. We may choose something like God's kingdom of heaven, in breaking in every act of love, compassion, justice, and mercy, to stay our spirits on and be stayed. Amen.